Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning.
And good morning to
Dr. Mixon, I haven't seen you since last month.
That's right. Yes.
It's a new month.
7 days ago.
Yes. October. Here we are. Dr. Mixon in the studio. We have given Dr. Umat the weekend off.
Yep.
Very nice. Just the two of us today.
Just the two of us.
I think that's a song. Oh, our producer may be looking that up.
You might hear that. You never know.
I hope you are doing well today. We are live in the studio, ready to take your calls. Don't be one of the last ones we have to hurry through. We want to get to everyone today. So let me give you that phone number. It's 800-465-8770 with your questions about your health. Things that are happening as you age and you're like, wait, this, what happened? What's going on? Or maybe a diagnosis you recently got from your doctor. You're not quite understanding what that means, what it entails, or maybe it's some symptoms for you or a loved one. We invite you to call in. We love it when you do. And, so Dr. Jerry Mixon here. My name is Lynette. Let's dive right in. Here is that phone number, 800-465-8770. So, Dr. Mixon, what is making news besides what's going on in Israel right now? Wow, that was all over the place this morning.
But, we had some news in our country, too, of course.
Yes, we did.
The Biden administration has decided to build a wall on the southern border.
What a great idea.
How come nobody ever thought of that?
How come
nobody?
Oh,
wait a second. I think somebody may have.
And then they actually started it.
And they were called racist because they were building a wall. And we were told it didn't work, but now suddenly the border has been in total control. I mean, we've been told over and over that the border is sealed, the border
controlled.
Is closed,
we're
under
safe.
Control. And then this week, Mr. Mayorkas said there's a crisis and we have to suspend 23 environmental laws and immediately start building a wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
Okay.
Are they liars? Are they crazy? Are they schizophrenic? What the hell's going on? Anyway, so that's news. But since this is a medicine show,
yes,
let's forget about that part of the world and pretend that the world is full of flying unicorns that poop donuts.
I love donuts, even better.
That's right. Yes. So flying unicorns who poop donuts. I think this is a fine idea.
That's funny. I was at my friend's 60th birthday yesterday, and it was a unicorn birthday.
A unicorn birthday.
Yeah, it was a 60s theme, and she had unicorns. So now I'm going to think of that as I eat my unicorn cookie, which I didn't. I saved it. I brought
it
home.
Her unicorns did cookies.
Yes, they pooped
my
cookies.
My 11-year-old daughter's unicorns poop donuts.
Donuts.
So yes.
But
they're brightly colored donuts.
Just look at them and appreciate them. Don't eat them.
Right. You got it.
Yes.
No, we've got a few things going on, but nothing terribly exciting. The news has kind of turned away from medicine for the moment since they don't have a crisis to beat the drums about.
Yes.
So, it is fall. It is time to get your flu shot. And if you're over about 60 or so, you might want to make sure that your shingles shot is up to date or your pneumococcal pneumonia shots are up to date. I am not at this point recommending the COVID booster unless you're on chemotherapy for your cancer, or you have, you know, severe morbid obesity, or a very poorly controlled diabetic, or, you know, you're in your late 80s to mid 90s and have sarcopenia that is just kind of wasting away and you're fragile, okay, then you probably need the shot. As for the rest of us, not so much.
Okay.
Okay. Other immunizations, though, because you're much more likely to kick off from the flu than you are from COVID right now, mm-hmm, unless you're in one of those, that small percentage of America that is in very high risk.
Okay.
So, what else is going on?
What about RSV? That was the big scare last year.
RSV is generally a disease of the very young.
Okay.
These are usually kids under about 2. Most kids get RSV between about 2 and 6 months.
Okay.
So, it's just that the kids had been staying home. They weren't around other kids. So RSV did not spread as it normally does. And when kids all went back to school, there was a big surge of RSV that lasted about 6 months until it kind of caught up and the unprotected kids got protected by catching RSV.
There you go. Okay.
So it's back down to its baseline now. It's not, not a resurgent sort of problem anymore.
Good, good. So, okay.
So generally, you know, the biggest medical problem in America today is obesity, being fat. People don't realize that we are the only industrialized country on Earth whose lifespan is declining. It's going down.
Wow.
Okay. And that's because we're the fattest country on Earth.
Wow. And it's something that you can control.
It is something
for the most part.
Control.
Yes.
You're not a victim. You know,
no.
The fat fairy did not come out and sprinkle you with chubby dust. You know, you developed a maladaptive lifestyle and you ate more and moved less, and pound by pound over the decades, the pounds kind of added up. You know, nothing anybody intended to do. Nobody planned to say, hey, I want to become morbidly obese and need a, you know, an electric cart to get around the grocery store so that I can buy more food and get more obese.
Oh, boy. Yes.
I know. You know, it kind of came on by accident. But we do have that problem now. And so it is the problem that is killing America. It is the cause of America's dropping lifespan. It is the cause for about 50% of all the medical care costs in America.
Wow.
Because it raises dementia, heart attacks, strokes, degenerative arthritis, diabetes, peripheral neuropathies, cancer,
yes,
kidney failure. If we were simply a lean country, if we were to drop our average weight down to normal, 50% of all the medical care costs in America would go away.
Wow. That's huge.
It is.
And it's something that
we
each can do something about.
Yes, it is. It is within our control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have control over you or your neighbor or my neighbors, but I have control over me.
And you've done a good job. May I say that, Dr. Mixon?
Yes, you may say
it. Yes,
you do. Yes, certainly. Give me any kudos you want.
Yeah.
My frail, elderly ego can take all the stroking it can get. So, you know, because that is an area in which my wife doesn't stroke much. She expects me to be lean and hard and firm. And if I get out of the shower and she sees one extra pound on my belly, she reaches out, taps my belly, and says, fat. I know that she is Chinese, and ergo, this is probably one of those very subtle Asian sort of things. But as an especially perceptive Caucasian, I pick up the fact that perhaps, just perhaps, she might be unhappy about something occurring on my belly.
Wow.
And so,
good job, Dr. Mixon.
Yeah, so I tighten it right up, and, you know, so, yeah. I went in, had an exam this past week, and the doctor commented on my six-pack.
Very good.
I was kind of pleased. I didn't actually count it as a six-pack, because I do have about a pound and a half or 2 pounds that I still want to trim down.
To trim down.
Well, that's because I can find a little love handle on either side. Okay. They're not much.
No.
But there's something there, and I don't want it. So
okay.
It'll be gone in 2-3 weeks.
There you go. Now, was the doctor in as good a shape as you?
No.
Okay.
which is why he commented on my belly.
Yes, he did. His was not
in that kind of shape.
And then how did you do that? You may have had to give that doctor some...
I did. I told him about my exercise program.
Yeah.
So...
That's good. Anyway. Oh, well, that's okay. So, Dr. Mixon, the phones are ringing. They're lit up.
Why do you say we answer them?
Let's dive right in. This is Leading Edge Medicine, taking your calls, and we're going to start the day in Tacoma with Eric. Good morning, Erica. You're number one.
Hello, Eric.
You're number one.
Number one. Yes. Stick that ringer in the air.
Woohoo.
Take a bow.
How are we all doing this morning?
We are doing so well. If the scoundrels in charge find out how good I feel, they will tax it.
And
so,
build a wall.
Yeah, so let's keep it a secret just between you and me.
Looking forward to the sunshine we're supposed to see the next couple of days, and then they're going to pull the rug on us, I think.
I know, but isn't it fabulous? Yes.
We'll take it. It's on a weekend, even.
Yeah, and unfortunately, well... My wife and daughter are down in California this weekend.
Okay.
My daughter has a fencing meet, fencing meet down just south of San Jose. So they flew out yesterday and we'll be back Sunday night. So I'm lonely and bacheloring it this weekend. So I will dive into work. And
there you go. That's probably the best.
Spend my time. Yes, I will spend all my idle hours in peer-reviewed literature. So.
There you go. But maybe you can do it on your back deck or your porch and
sunshine. Yeah, I'll take the cover off the furniture, though, because we have the furniture on the back deck all covered.
Yes, all covered up and ready. Yeah.
So, well I can
the
uncover
the rest of us will benefit from your increased study while we're gone.
Yes, we will. Yes.
Okay.
Well, so, Eric, what can we do?
How can I help you, Eric?
Well, a few years ago, you'd spent a few minutes, you talked about the prostate reduction surgery, and I know that a couple of friends of mine since then have had some, and one of them spoke highly of one that might have been around for a while. He seemed to think for him it worked well. He'd had it done twice in 10 years, something with TURP. There's a TURP.
Yeah.
And then there's the one you see on TV all the time, which someone has told me not to do because it has, I don't know, some painful aspects to it. It isn't quite as maybe up to some of the other ones. And then there's the Rezūm one. But I know that uses steam, doesn't it, to reduce the tissue?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was asking is if we could kind of maybe briefly go through the pros and cons of each of those or talk about those and what you think might be one to look at. Because, I've had different surgeries. I've had double the muscle down below. I've had that done.
Oh, hernia, maybe?
I had a double hernia a few years ago. So I've had a few surgeries, but... It wouldn't bother me to get knocked out while one of these was going on, but I understand, presume they don't always do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about the options. The oldest one, the one that's been around since I was an intern 50 years ago, was the TURP, transurethral prostatic resection. That's what TURP stands for. And there's a cutting loop that's hooked up to electrical, and it's an electric cutting loop, and they just go in and... shear away the prostate from inside. So the scope goes up into the penis, and then you just cut away the prostate to give you enough room to urinate. The downside of the TURP is that it destroys, because in order to get to the prostate, you have to first cut away the urethra. The prostatic urethra, the portion of the tube that carries the urine from the bladder down the penis, goes through the center of the prostate. So you actually cut that entire section of the urethra out. It's gone and destroyed in order to get to the prostate. It's a fairly bloody procedure. The electrical is trying to cauterize a fair bit as it goes, but most guys end up with a catheter for anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 months, depending on how long it takes them to start getting some control over their bladder again. You almost always lose the external valve that helps to control urine flow. So you have to completely retrain to get control of your bladder. And many men will end up having to wear an adult diaper for 6 months to a year because they still have mistakes. They just don't get total control, and if something happens, they may wet their pants. So the TURP had some significant downsides, but it was the method for decades and decades and decades. And then they came up with the laser ablations, in which instead of using a cutting loop, they used lasers of different colors. The problem is you're still doing the same thing. It's just that you're cutting everything away with a laser and vaporizing it instead of cutting it out. Now, let me say something nice about the old-fashioned TURP is that when you cut all this stuff out, you're actually getting fragments of the prostate, and those all go to pathology, and the pathologist looks at them just to make sure that there was not any prostate cancer there that they were not aware of. So with the TURP, you at least got biopsy samples for the pathologist to look at. And so, you know, if there was a prostate cancer there, they weren't aware of it, they could become aware of it. With the laser ablations, you don't get that because you're vaporizing the tissue. So you get all the same, pretty much the same downsides as the TURP. You're still destroying all of that tissue, except that you're turning it into steam.
So that would be the resume method you're talking about
No. This is lasers that just vaporize the tissue. So they just kind of explodes it up into steam and is sucked out.
And what is that one called?
These are laser ablations.
Oh, that's what it's called.
And they can be the green laser, the blue laser, they're different lasers, but the purpose of the laser was basically to vaporize the tissue. And then I'm trying to think what the next one was called. It was one where they actually kind of put big staples through.
Oh, wow.
And put a bar on the outside of the prostate and another on the inside, and it mechanically pulled.
Okay, Eric, I'm thinking that one is, ouch.
That one had some limitations.
Okay.
But tell you what, the music says we got to take a break. I'll come back and finish up on this. And Resume is coming up pretty soon. It's about two more, and then I got one after Resume.
Okay, stay right there, Eric. We'll be back talking about those treatments for enlarged prostates with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Leading Edge Medicine, and taking your calls at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay there.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-wheel chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, give one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind.
We're back. Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. He's got a big smile. You like that song?
I like that song.
Yeah,
it's kind of cute.
It's a fun one. Bouncy, perfect for a Saturday morning. All right, talking with Eric, and you were talking about the different procedures for prostate issues.
Yeah. And then there was one about 5 or 6 years ago that really caught my fancy. Unfortunately, while it's a pretty good method, I don't think it'll ever become popular. And that's because it's not done by urologists. When you got peeing problems and prostate problems, 99% of the human race goes to a urologist, who are surgeons. The procedure that I kind of became enamored with was called a prostatic arterial embolism. And it's not done by the urologists, it's done by the radiologists.
Wow.
Okay, and it's where they thread a catheter into your femoral artery, just in your groin, and they run that catheter up into the arteries feeding the prostate. And then they inject a microfoam into the prostatic arteries, which plugs them up. And depending on how much foam they put in and how many of the arteries they plug, those portions of the artery that whose blood supply has just been occluded shrivel up and go away. And so you don't do any trauma to the urethra. You don't do any trauma to the bladder valves. You simply shrivel up the prostate and make it smaller.
There you go.
Which, side effects are very small.
Recovery time?
Recovery time, very short.
Good.
Most people have very, very low risk of complications. But obviously, anything done to and by human beings is not perfect. There can be mistakes, and sometimes you get arterial bleeds, which can be a real disaster when it occurs, but very rare. That was actually pioneered down in Australia.
Wow.
And when I first saw the literature, there were only about three places in America starting to do it. We do have a radiologist over in Seattle who has become pretty adept at it. But because it's done by radiologists that people don't go to see, and since urologists are surgeons,
they want to do
surgery. They do what they do. And so instead of referring you to the radiologist, the urologist does surgery.
Okay.
So while it's, I think it's a pretty good method, and it's one I would consider for myself, it is not ever going to be the method chosen by the vast majority of people. Then along came the one that I couldn't remember the name was called the UroLift.
UroLift.
Okay. That's the one where they actually have the staples that pull the urethra open. That one can't be done to a really, really big prostate. It's kind of limited in the selection of people. And I don't know. I haven't been overly impressed with the results.
And then That's the one on TV they advertise quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to make it more popular. And the ads are being paid for the people that sell the staples, you know, that sell the surgical appliances to do the procedure. And then came the Rezūm. And Rezūm, I think, is a pretty good method for many, many people. Rezūm, again, you put the scope in the penis into the prostatic urethra, use a slightly curved needle, and the needle simply punches a tiny little needle hole through the prostatic urethra, so you're doing minimal damage to that urethra, and you inject a little burst of steam into the prostate.
Okay.
And by...
What's the anesthetic process? Do they put you out for that, or they have to have you awake?
They don't have to have you awake. They could put you to sleep, though. Many surgeons are doing this as a office or an outer surgical procedure sort of place, where many men are just getting some sedation and just local anesthetic. When they put the scope in the penis is actually the most uncomfortable part for most guys. And so they start by just taking a anesthetic gel, a jelly form of lidocaine, and inject that into the opening in the penis and fill up the penis and the prostatic urethra with anesthetic gel. Mm, okay. Give it a few minutes to take effect, and then they could put the scope in, and things are pretty numb. So they don't get a lot of discomfort
that
with it.
Woke me up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, just the scoping. Yeah, the scoping is enough to let you know about it.
Hello. So,
yeah, because, you know, you're putting something about twice the diameter of a pencil up your penis all the way to the bladder, and that's a fairly sensitive
sort
of mucous membrane.
I was thinking of something quite
traumatized. No, it's good sized. Okay. Because they have to see through it and operate through it.
Yeah.
So it can't be too tiny. So most of the guys getting this procedure done at least get a little bit of intravenous sedation. So you get pretty drowsy and groggy and you don't really care.
And you're not watching. or listening to sounds.
You drift off into your fantasy world. But it's a pretty good procedure. The problem is that if the prostate is real big, you don't become a candidate for it. And it's variable. You're kind of injecting the steam areas quasi-blindly. You know, you're through a scope and you're saying, well, I'll do it here and then I'll do it over, you know, at 9 o'clock. And then I think, oh, well, I'll pick 1 o'clock and then I'll try out 4 o'clock. And you're just kind of injecting around. Guys, they get pretty good at it.
How long they're doing that?
Well, not very long, really. It's usually a 15 or 20 minute procedure, kind of start to finish for most guys. Again, there's always a learning curve. When you've got a new procedure that doctors are just starting to do, the new guys tend to do it slower than the guys that have done 50 or 60 of them. You know, I mean, that's just the real world. And so it is the old adage, he on the cutting edge bleeds. So when you're one of the first people getting a new procedure, you got to recognize the doctor probably does not have 1,000 cases under his belt because it's a new procedure.
Yes.
But, you know, that's...
Well, I've got several several doctors that I'm considering, and I wonder if there's another way to find maybe a couple more names I could consider, because I know at least one of them has been doing the Rezūm for, gosh, 5 years or more, and I know mm-hmm. 5 years ago he'd done 6 or 8 of them.
Yeah.
And he did mention that one person had stopped the process, so I was just wondering if it was just awkward and uncomfortable enough that he wanted it stopped.
And it may be, yeah. And sometimes things just aren't going well. They're not going according to plan. And the wise physician backs out and says, whoa, wait a minute. Why do I want to force my way through this? You know, this is a guy who's obviously not doing good. So we're back to, you know, one of my aphorisms about life and medicine. Nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. You know, there are flaws and failures and problems with everything we do in medicine as well as most of life. So
yeah, well, it's preventing my bladder from completely emptying, which is, you know, the other part that's kind of concerning to me. So
yes,
I've got to make a decision. I want to move forward with it and try to get that corrected.
Well, there is a new procedure, bearing in mind what I just said about new procedures. okay. And it is variously called a hydroablation or an aqua ablation.
Hmm.
Okay. And I have not seen this done myself yet. Some of the others, I've actually gone to a urologist's office and watched the procedure and seen the way it was done so that I had a better feel for it. This one I've only read the literature about, okay? Mm. But I know there are a couple of doctors in town that have taken it up, and I probably ought to go chat with them pretty soon. Just because I'm a 76-year-old man, and one of these days there's a chance I'm going to need it. But the statistics on the aqua ablation or the hydroablation are very encouraging. They have fewer men need to have catheters postoperatively, and those that do tend to need them for shorter periods of time. There is less damage reportedly to the external bladder valves, and the complication rate and the redo rate are very low.
Hmm.
You know, because everything that you do, not everybody gets good results, and they have to go back and redo procedures sometimes. Hmm. Well, the redo rate on this one is about 1/3 of the average prostatic procedure. So at least in the hands of the university people that are publishing the papers, it seems to have the lowest complication rate of anything except the arterial embolization. So of all the prostatic surgeries, it seems, at least from the university papers that I've read so far, to be the most effective with the lowest side effect rate.
Mm.
But
so that's one you might consider if you were in that situation.
That's one I would certainly consider. I'd at least go talk to the doctors, find out how many they've done, what has been their complication rate. You know, sit down with a doc and just have an honest conversation. And hopefully most doctors, like most decent human beings, are honest. And they'll talk to you and tell you the truth, you know. There's always the chance you run across that rare charlatan, but I think charlatans in medicine are pretty rare, pretty sparse.
So, okay, so hydroablation or aquablation would be the terms that they should be familiar with. Now, any idea how many years that's been out?
Well, you know, again, I don't know how long it's been in this community. I did have a call a month or so ago from a patient whose urologist had suggested it.
Mm, okay.
But I didn't get the name of the urologist because we were on the air and somehow I just had a brain fart and didn't think about it. I should have asked. but the literature, the university literature, has data going back 6 and 7 years. So I know that the technology, at least in the university setting, was being developed 6 and 7 years ago with a few cases. But I have no idea how long it's been done here in the Seattle Kirkland area.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And then I have one short question on injections. I've always had no problems with flu injections and all the other mm-hmm. stuff that goes with being 65 plus. Last year, for the first time, I had a flu shot in my shoulder, and that little sensation has never gone away. It almost feels like, and I know this is impossible, a little tiny speck of metal left in there. I know that's not what happened. But I'm going to say nick the nerve because it just hasn't gone away.
That's what happened. That, you know, the cutaneous nerve branches are a random pattern. We have no way of knowing where they are. And so anytime they stick a needle through your skin, there is a remote possibility that they're actually going to do the injection right into a little branch of the nerve. And if you traumatize the nerves, you can get long-term or even permanent altered sensation there.
Phantom stick. Well, yeah, the phantom needle,
So, so yes, it happens once in a while, and unfortunately, you got bit.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for the information.
You bet, Eric.
It's helpful for going forward here. Thank you so much. Okay. Have a great weekend when you get out of there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Great call. Lots of information there from Dr. Mixon. We are going to head to Edmonds and Federal Way. Mark, John, you are next. Stay tuned. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We will take a quick break. And if you'd like to get through, here is the phone number, 800-465-8770. We will be right back. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We are live in the studio and taking your calls, your concerns about your health, maybe an upcoming procedure that you are having, like Eric called in just a moment ago. Now we're going to head to Edmonds, where the ferries are going back and forth. I bet it looks gorgeous right now.
Sun coming up.
Oh, perfect. I had a lot of fog this morning, but boy, that sun is going to shine today. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for that information on the prostate. That's not why I was calling, but I'm 65 plus, and, well, I'm in need of that information, so that was very timely.
So, most older men are, sooner or later.
Yeah. So I have two quick questions. One is I just want to make sure I understood something you said. It was about a year ago, and I was listening to you, and you were talking about stevia, and you were talking about the fact that even though stevia is non-caloric, that it's still, the body still sees it as a sugar.
Yeah.
That effect, and it can cause
something to that effect. Close enough. Yeah. Here's the problem is that we have sweet receptors, and anytime we taste sweet, those receptors throughout our body get triggered, and they assume that there is sugar coming down, that there is actually honey coming down, something really sweet and high calorie. And so the taste of anything sweet, even if it is a zero calorie product, shifts our metabolism towards fat production, because there's a whole series of endocrine triggers that are activated that say, hey, we got a big sugar load coming down here. Let's store that extra energy. We don't need to waste it because, you know, we got enough calories coming in. We don't need more. So let's get ready to store the excess. And so we shift our metabolism towards fat. And, you know, we have so many pseudo sugars, so many things that taste sweet without actually having calories now that's happening a lot. So people that drink zero calorie soft drinks still tend to get fat because their body is shifting their metabolism towards fat instead of muscle just because it tastes sweet.
And that still affects the possibility of diabetes and things of that nature?
Well, yeah, it's the fat that triggers the diabetes.
Right. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah. So the heavier you get, the higher your risk of insulin resistance, which in turn sets you up for type 2 diabetes.
Got it. That's good to know because stevia is showing up everywhere. I try to eat as sugar-free as possible, but they're substituting sugar now with stevia. And at first I was like, hey, stevia, this is cool. And come to find out it's not. It's just as
Well, I wouldn't say just as, because you do have fewer calories involved, you know, less energy there, but you'd still get this shift in your metabolism, which is a different issue. So you got two different things. The other thing to remember is a teaspoon of sugar is 25 calories. Mm. There are 3,600 calories in 1 pound of fat. A teaspoon of sugar at 25 calories is a pretty tiny amount of calories towards a pound, you know, towards a pound of fat. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to put a teaspoon of sugar in your coffee, I'm not going to get terribly excited because you're adding 25 calories. Right. And it takes 3,600 to get a pound of fat. So you did not get fat because of a teaspoon of sugar in your coffee. So if you've got that bitter, burned, horrible-tasting Starbucks coffee, and you want to make it palatable by adding a teaspoon of sugar, go ahead.
Okay. So I can have that. So I'm gonna have that muffin for breakfast. Thank you. my other question is aldosterone, a hormone that I don't hear you talk much about.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just was tested for my aldosterone. The reason why we did it is I got some kidney issues. I seem to be developing stones, and so there's the whole sodium potassium balance. And they're thinking I'm giving too much sodium, which is causing the stones. It's on and on and on. But I'm sure you're aware of. So we checked my aldosterone to see if it was high, and it wasn't. It was low, but the thing is the doctor was very dismissive of my low levels, because she was looking for high levels, and I couldn't get anything out of her in terms of like, well, what's the low levels? That's got to affect me somehow, because I do have other health issues. I have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and so I'm wondering if what's the significance of low levels of aldosterone? Could that be affecting someone with chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia?
Yes, more likely the chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia are affecting the aldosterone levels instead of back and forth. Aldosterone is a mineral corticoid. It's a cortisone-like drug made in the adrenal glands. And it's involved in the renin-angiotensin aldosterone system that maintains blood pressure and blood supply to the kidneys and kidneys clearance and preservation of sodium and potassium and so on. So if you are getting what we call adrenal fatigue, if your adrenal glands are basically pooping out and you're not making enough aldosterone or cortisone or any of those, then that can be a problem. So what I would suggest you do is you need to go see a physician and have them do an adrenal challenge test, where they can actually give you something to kind of kick your adrenal glands into high gear and see how much they will put out when they're stimulated. I guess even before that, they'd just do an adrenal monitoring, where they check your cortisol levels, serum cortisol levels, because cortisol is a hormone that's also produced by the adrenal glands. Mm. And we produce it in response to stress. Any physiologic or emotional stress, we kick out cortisol. And people who either just because of aging or because they lead high stress, high anxiety lives, or they have chronic illnesses that put their bodies under chronic stress, can basically just beat down the adrenal glands to the point they don't function well anymore. And that could be the result, or that could result in your low aldosterone levels.
Okay. Now, aldosterone, that is, I can't remember, does that lower sodium or raise sodium? What's the purpose of aldosterone again?
Okay. Well, the purpose of the aldosterone is to help you maintain your blood pressure. Okay.
I should and, still retain sodium.
Yes. And not just sodium, though. It also maintains the total amount of fluid in your body, and it has an impact on whether your arteries constrict or relax. Okay.
Oh.
So it's it actually has a total body impact. So once those adrenal glands start to kind of go out of whack, all bets are off. I've seen blood pressures go up. I've seen blood pressures go down. You see people that don't tolerate anxiety or stress well anymore. You can see heartbeats that will suddenly start racing just because they're having panic attacks. This entire adrenal corticosteroid pathway is extremely complex, and it's got a lot of interconnections throughout the body. So okay. when we suspect that, what we do is we bring people in and we check their cortisol levels first thing in the morning, mid-afternoon, and bedtime. And we'll check it four or five times in a 24-hour shift. And we look at the pattern of cortisol production to kind of get a feel for how the adrenal glands are functioning.
Do you do the saliva test, or is it a
yes? Scan? No, they normally we'll just do the saliva test for that because it's a screening. And if we look, if it looks like they've got serious adrenal dysfunction, then we usually kick them off to the endocrinologist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something you wouldn't work within your clinic.
Depends. Well, it depends on what we see going wrong. If it's something that somebody simply needs a little light touch of some support, uh-huh. or we can, you know, change their lifestyle or change their pro-hormones, get their dehydroepiandrosterone and pregnenolone levels up and see if that solves the problem, then we'll stop mm-hmm. with that. But once in a while, you get somebody that's got tumors of the adrenals or something, and then, you know, you need the endocrinologist and the surgeons involved.
Uh-huh. If I called your office, would they be able to refer me to an endocrinologist?
Depends on where you are and which doc you're talking to, I guess.
Oh, I see.
You know, we have clinics everywhere from Linwood to Tacoma, and we don't know every endocrinologist in that entire area.
I see. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, something I need to look a little further into. So thank you.
Yep. You're welcome, sir. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for your call, Mark. John, we're going to take your call right after this break. First, want to remind you that Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by our wonderful longevity medical clinics. Mark, there is one near you in Linwood. We also have one in Tacoma and our beautiful new facility, which has moved just 5 minutes away to our new facility here in Kirkland. And every day gets more finished and more finished and more finished and pretty soon functioning though right now, taking clients and patients at Longevity and our Bella Medica. Mm-hmm. Very good. And still want you to come in. If you haven't been, you've been listening to the show and you're like, oh, I want to, but I'm not really sure. I'm a little nervous. Hey, you need to get your health. You're just aging. You're continuing to age. And wouldn't you want to get it under control while you can? No matter if you're in your 70s, your 90s, your 40s, or in between, you need to come in and take advantage of that free health analysis appointment. Find out what your body has done to you so far, along with life. And let's see if the doctors at Longevity can help you. Because you know what? I bet they can. You're going to take two tests. Those are free, a blood test and an in-body test, which will let the doctors know if you are one to have risks of having heart disease or diabetes, cancers, dementia, and so many other things down the road as you age. And then they will tell you what we need to do. Yeah, they can show you. They make it make sense to you. It's not a 5-minute appointment. It's a very long appointment with your doctor. After you do the full panel blood test, they're going to look at all sorts of things and give you information on things you didn't even know were in your body. Right, Dr. Mixon?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And what we want to do is find out how we can make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and hence happier.
Happier. Absolutely. We still offer that free health analysis appointment. We want to get to know you. So come on in to one of our clinics, Linwood, Tacoma, or Kirkland, and let's get you started. Here is the number to call. It's 866-86-YOUNG. And you can actually call right now if you'd like. Make your appointment on the day and time, even the clinic that works best for you. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. You can find the little button there that says free health analysis. Click on that. It'll take you to a calendar and you can pick the day and time that works best for you. Okay, lmclinic.com. We're going to take a break, and then, John, we're back with your question in just a moment. And phone lines are open. We have lots of room on our show to get to you as well. But call now, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Living on love, buying on time. Without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like an old-fashioned storybook rhyme. Living on love, it sounds simple, that's what you're thinking. But love can walk through fire without blinking. And it doesn't take much when you get enough. Living on love.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. I am here with Dr. Jerry Mixon taking your calls, and we'd love to talk to you today. Give us a call. Those phone lines are open at 800-465-8770, and we're going to head to Federal Way right now where the sun is shining. We have John on the line. Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Good morning, Dr. Mixon and Lynette.
Hi there.
On the one that you asked to write a story about, and I'm really looking forward to your book coming out.
Yes.
Yes. Well, actually, and thank you, you are in the book. I had to abbreviate it a bit because I was limited to about 300 pages for the book. So that multi-page biography you sent us was quite wonderful, but I really had to trim it down for the book. But yes, it is supposed to arrive here in our warehouse over at our fulfillment center on the 16th of this month.
Wow, that's just a day or two.
So I've got the first 5,000 copies arriving, and we'll be putting it in all the clinics and making it available. And of course, since you are one of the guys we included in the book, I'll be sending you a signed copy with a thank you note in the preface. So you get a...
Appreciate that. And all my friends and relatives know that your book is coming. And I'm going to try to figure out how I can send them copies without going broke. Yeah.
Well, of course, I think that my book would make a wonderful Christmas present, but that's a whole different issue.
I agree 100%. It should be everybody's library regarding medicine, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got two more that I'm kind of starting on right now. And one is a joint book with Dan Nelson, the pain doctor, the pain specialist. And so Dan and I are going to do one jointly on pain, since we address pain by two very different directions. And then I've got one I have asked my doctors to send me, have each doctor send me three or four patients that have been with us a long time and have really changed their life with the clinic. And with those patients, obviously, their permission and consent, we'll talk a bit about how each patient, what their life was like before the clinic. We'll talk about how they were treated at the clinic and the interventions we made. And then we'll talk about their life after they've been a patient for 5 or 10 years. The changes that have occurred. You know, if you've got 20 pages on 15 patients, that's a 300-page book right there. I mean, that's a book that almost write itself.
Yes.
You know, but I think that almost everybody that reads that will see themselves in several of those patients. Say, oh, yeah, that happened to me, and oh, yeah, I had that trouble. And so, you know, that I think will end up being not only fun to read, but also great marketing for the clinics.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think you've done a great job educating people. And every time I listen, I hear something a little bit different and that I can store that one of these days I'll come back to, like the resume procedure.
Uh-huh.
I've been considering that as well. I also like your in-body machine you have there in the clinic.
Oh, yes.
Over the past 3 months, I've been working out with a trainer, and it's almost a straight line. I'm gaining about a tenth of a pound of muscle mass per week.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, boy, that's really impressive. Well, I got nauseated, and I couldn't figure out what was causing it. Didn't want to eat. Went a couple of days without eating, and the in-body machine showed that I lost 2.4 pounds of muscle and gained 2.4 pounds of fat.
It happens really fast. Older people cannot be put at rest. You know, you want to kill an old man, you put him to bed for a week.
Or in that recliner. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Got to be moving.
Got to be moving. It's really important. Yes. But yeah, I get on that in-body about every 2 or 3 months myself just to keep track of where my body fat and muscle mass are.
Yeah. You could just about draw a straight line between the – I was getting it like about maybe once every 2 weeks. I happened to stop by in the clinic in Tacoma. And those people are always gracious, and they seem to squeeze me in for the in-body machine. But you can draw a straight line for about 2 months where it's just going up a tenth of a pound. Uh-huh. And then got nauseated. And that's why I really called you, is to find out – I went to my primary care doctor. I've got a call into the VA to get scheduled. I went to see an endocrinologist. My tongue has kind of a greenish-brown color on it, and I scraped that off, and I put chlorhexidine that I got from Dr. McKay's dental office. And that seems to keep the tongue in check, but the nausea just goes up and down. Sometimes I'm great, and then an hour later it's not. And it's kind of like motion sickness, or like I've been kicked in the groin. It's in that same region of pain. So I don't have any ideas. I thought it might be maybe in my balance system up in my middle ear or something.
Are you dizzy?
Not really, but my stability, I think maybe that might be a fact of age, aging. I don't seem to have as good a balance as I've had before, and I have to be careful on where I put my feet, especially if going upstairs or something.
Okay. Well, that is obviously a common issue with getting older.
My vitals are so good. The blood pressure is like 117 over 70. It's like clockwork. My heart rate gets down to 48, my resting heart rate. And the blood work is pretty good. My testosterone is high. I was running like 1,200, but it has been on the high side. Uh-huh. And the hormone injections, growth hormone, I have the IGF-1 is about 157. That's about where I want it.
Yep.
And I just don't know what to do. I don't like to eat. If I don't eat, I can't gain muscle.
That's right. Yeah, you need the calories and you need the protein load. Okay. Tell you what. Which one of our doctor? Who's your doctor?
Dr. Jimenez.
Okay. So we have a meeting on Tuesday. We close all the clinics for half a day, and I get all the doctors together for half a day periodically for teaching updates and some of the newest stuff that we've come up with. Have Laura chat with me about you a little bit, and maybe she and I can go over your chart together on Tuesday and see if we come up with something, okay?
Okay, now, Jimmy, you're talking about Dr. Amanda's?
Yeah.
When you say Laura, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I know her as Laura. She's she's my tiniest doctor,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a little tiny
little
doctor.
Tiny thing. I think she's about 4'10" or something. I have one thigh that weighs as much as she does. So
she's really wonderful, and I like her energy, and she really attacks, but she's a jewel.
Yeah, she's a little ball of fire. She just goes after problems and pounds on them until she solves them. So,
right. I have a consultation coming up with her on the 17th for the lab review.
Okay.
Well, I've talked to her before last week. She helped me walking by, and she knows of my problem.
All right. Well, have, like I said, have her, because I'm going to see her on Tuesday when she comes up for our teaching session. If you'll give her a call Monday so that she remembers to grab me on Tuesday, she and I will wander over to my office and pull up your chart and see if we can see anything interesting we might have a chance to help you with, okay?
Great. I want to thank you very much, as always. And looking forward to your book and your new book's coming out as well.
All
right. Well, those will be out sometime next year. But
yes.
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
thanks an awful lot.
Thank you for the call, John. We're going to take a quick break here. You hear that music? We would love to give you the phone call, the phone number to call right now and get in the queue. Phone lines are wide open for your questions about your health as you are aging. What's going on? The symptoms, the diagnosis. We've got Dr. Jerry Mixon live in the studio. Here is that number, 800-465-8770.